Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough with me, Dr. Beverly L. Swanson. Now, this is a live radio broadcast designed to inspire, encourage, and empower you forward into your breakthrough. Now, join me weekly, along with my distinguished guests, that will share wisdom and stories of great faith. And now, here we go. Let's get started with inspiration, empowerment, and breakthrough. Well, welcome, everyone, to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. We're delighted to have you on the air. This is me. I'm Dr. Beverly Swanson. I am your host for the broadcast, and I'm very excited to have you on. Now, I may have some of you that are on the air with us for the very first time, so I'd like to take a moment and share what the broadcast is about. Well, Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough is a broadcast for regular people, real people with real stories of great journeys, great victories, and now having to share great testimonies. So this is a platform for those that have experienced those, and they want to share with us how their faith kept them going, kept them on track, and propelled them forward. This is important for us. Why is that, would you say, Dr. Bev? Because it is their stories that inspire us to continue moving forward and that empower us to stay grounded and not give up and ultimately lead to our breakthroughs. So it is a joy and a pleasure and an honor for me to present guests that will be transparent and share their journeys with you and me. Now, before the broadcast is over, we always seal it with prayer. And again, why is that? Because prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. And we want to make sure that just in case any of these stories tend to not just prick your spirit, but cause you to feel a bit unnerved as well as empowered, we want to make sure that we cover you in prayer so that you're not leaving feeling open, and that is not our purpose. Our purpose is to inspire you and empower you and encourage you forward. So it is truly an honor to bring the broadcast to you this evening. It is a joy and a pleasure to serve you, and it is always an honor for me to present guests to express their journeys with you, and today is no different. I want you to know that there's going to be a period that I open up the line for briefly for questions. And if you do have a question that you would like to ask our guest, I want to quickly give you this number. And I'll repeat it again. But it is 347-202-0120. Let me repeat that for you once again. And it's 347-202-0120, and just follow the prompts for the radio show host. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the show tonight. Well, I know you have seen the title, and in essence, we have a dynamic, brave, and inspiring 12-year-old young lady that is going to share with you her experiences of being bullied at school. And she's also going to share with you how she turned it around, where she was feeling pressured and under such words and sentences and accusations, and how she turned that around into a great victory. Now, I want you to know, also with us is her dad, her biggest fan. Her dad is Mark Taylor. And the young lady that I'm talking to you about, in case you have not seen the promotions of the show, is Kayla Taylor. Her dad is with us, Mark Taylor, and they're both going to share different parts of their experiences. Because here's what I want. I want each and every young adult that is listening to this broadcast to have tools that they need to be able to continue forward in the adversities of bullying. I want you to leave feeling inspired, encouraged, and strengthened. And I also want the parents to understand that what's going on is very serious. How it is affecting our children is very serious. And I want Mark to share with you his experiences, how he felt, and how he, along with his faith and his steadfast parenting skills, both he and his wife, have helped turn things around for Kayla. So, without further ado, let me tell you a little bit about Kayla, without giving too much away. Well, I told you that she's 12 years old. She's in the seventh grade, and she is dynamic and brave and social, and that's all I'm going to tell you. The rest I want you to listen for. Now, Dad, can I tell you a little bit about Dad? Dad's name, again, is Mark Taylor. Mark is a co-owner of a Sacramento-based business led by God Designs, a graphic design, Mark is a graphic design and consulting firm. Now, he's had the honor of being a co-host himself and a broadcast writer for the Get Excited Show, which is a Christian radio show hosted by Michael Crawford. And it aired on both KZ AM 1380 and KFIA AM 710. Now, some of you may have listened to some of the broadcasts. Now, the new Michael Crawford show aired also on CBS Radio at KHTK 1140. Now, as a writer, he is also known for a style that connects the reader to real stories, so he's perfect to be on this show, right? By employing the use of word painting. I like that, word painting. Now, Mark has worked on blogs, book editing, and ghost writing projects. And I have to tell you, he also worked on my book as well. Now, he is currently searching the market for a literary agent in an effort now to get his own personal literary works into print. So for those that you are on the air, keep that in mind. You may be able to be a blessing to him and vice versa. All right, shall we get on with the show? Before we move forward, before I bring our guest on to say hello to you, there's something I want to share with you. The way I found out, ladies and gentlemen, about Kayla and her experiences and her dad, it's because her dad, in his pride, he was so proud of his daughter that he posted a very heartfelt message on Facebook. Unknown to him, I'm going to read that to you. So here we go. 2 years ago, I spent more time at my daughter's school than she did. You see, she was being bullied. I had enough, so I pulled her out and homeschooled her. 2 years later, she whispers a seed into my ear. Dad, I want to wrestle. And without hesitation, Dad said, I responded, let's do it. Her mom wasn't exactly on board at first. From the time she was born, talking about daughter Kayla, we knew she was anointed with Samson-like strength. She endured 5 months of vigorous training as the only girl in what was once thought to be a traditionally male sport. Now, she made a lot of friends. She made some noise on the mat and made a name for herself. And most importantly, she defeated the insecurity that roared inside of her like a lion. She defeated bullying as the bullies who once chastised her watched her and watched her on. Now, I'm posting this not to boast, but as a humble address on how we can teach our children to persevere through bullying by using their God-given gifts and relying on God. She received some special awards at her banquet. One was a custom teen tap-out shirt made by one of the coaches with a quote, Dan Gable, "Once you've wrestled, everything in life is easy." Now, the tap-out buzz started. I think I will let him talk about that when he's on. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd love for you to say hello and meet our special guest today, Ms. Kayla Taylor and Mark Taylor, Dad. Are you there, Kayla? Mark?
I'm here. How you doing?
Yay! I am wonderful and so excited to have you both on, and I truly hope that you're both excited to be here with us.
Well, we're excited to tell the story. Aren't you, Kayla?
Yes.
Yes, I can. And Kayla, I just want to say thank you in advance for taking the time to talk to us, for being transparent with us, and for being so brave and unselfish to share your story. Thank you so much, Princess.
No, thank you for wanting to be on your show.
Well, are we ready to get started?
Yes. Dad, are you ready?
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay. Now, when we talked before, Dad, you explained that, you know what? You live in a middle-class neighborhood. You were living in a middle-class neighborhood in the city of Sacramento. We're broadcasting out of California, everyone. And Kayla was in the second grade at that time. And I remember you saying that she was bullied from the second grade to the fourth grade. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Dad?
Yeah, she at school has always experienced bullying from some of her classmates. A lot of them she had opened up her heart to and became friends with, and they got to see the intimate side of her and how she just loved people. And she would come home crying at times and, you know, just weeping, and her mother and I were just, you know, distressed and trying to figure out who would want to hurt this, you know, such a precious child. I'm not saying that because she's my daughter. I'm just saying that because I know her spirit, and I know she loves people, and she would do anything for anyone. And she was just constantly coming home in distress and crying, and oftentimes we would just be in the living room together and she would just start crying and, you know, never really coming out and telling us. At first we almost had to drag it out of her, but yeah, it was a distressful, you know, period. I mean, they talked about her weight, her height. She's, you know, so tall for her age, and usually she's the tallest person in the class. And if you ever look at her old school pictures, she's the tall one in the back, you know. And so everybody, you know, I don't know whether they were intimidated by her presence or whatever it was, that she always would just get just the remarks that, you know, tear a child down, that they just don't need to hear ever, and definitely not at that age, you know, about her weight and her height and all sorts of things that, you know, just tears a child apart. And so it started there, and it progressively got worse as the, you know, years went on. And some of the worst bullies in her life were the people that she entrusted with her heart the most. There were some friends of hers that were really close to her. So, and, of course, you know, you feel helpless when you are not in a position to, you know, you feel like you're not in a position to provide any assistance when you're not getting any assistance from the school or like what we would want them to take care of. You're not getting it that way. And so, you know, there's some frustration that comes along with that.
And I can imagine. Now, Kayla is really tall. Kayla, are you like 5'9 now, 5'8?
Yes, I am. I'm almost taller than my dad.
I think she's a little taller, and I think she's being a little humble. She's nearly as tall as I am, and I'm 6'2", 6'3", so she's probably more like 6 foot. So.
Yeah, I believe it because, you know, I sport around in 4-inch heels, and the shoe's taller than me. And I know in my heels I'm a good 5'11", 6 feet. So I need you to imagine this, ladies and gentlemen. She is in the 7th grade, and she's 12, and she is standing at 6 feet. A formidable presence, a formidable figure. Now, I want to go back a little bit because we're talking 12 now, but, you know, she didn't just grow this height overnight. Now, when did Kayla start to pick up weight? You said it was about 6, 7?
Yeah, it's right around 6 or 7 years old she started to pick up weight gradually. I think she, you know, began to turn to food to, you know, to, you know, kind of help her cope with some of the things that she was dealing with at the time. You know, and I think a lot of it may have had to do with, you know, being diagnosed with, you know, lupus and all types of other issues that she had to see. I mean, she was always in fear that, you know, that I wouldn't be there in the long term for her life. And I think that may have started, you know, her comfort in use of food as a comfort method or coping mechanism. And of course, at the same time, she was, you know, growing taller, you know.
Yeah.
Gaining stature, so, and she always had a presence.
Yes. Yes, and I have to tell you, audience, I have met Kayla, and she is an amazing young woman and always has a smile on her face, a vibrant personality, and she's solid. She is a formidable force, and I understand, you know, the challenges that you were feeling, Kayla, because my youngest son was a big guy. You know, he picked up weight about the same time, same age, 6 or 7, and he was rock solid, just a formidable force, yet athletic. And he could run faster than everyone. He played basketball. And I'm told, Kayla, that you worked out with Dad and Mom. You went to the gym. You did everything that you could to try to work on the weight that people were teasing you about. Is that right?
Yes, that is very true. I always try to go on runs with Dad or go ride a bike with them. Always try to lose that weight, but it's so hard. It's really hard for me to lose the weight. Like if I would work out, I'll work out 3 months and I'll only lose 2 pounds.
Okay, so there you are dealing with that frustration, honey, because there you are working hard. Your family's all working together. I think all of you are going to the gym, right, as a family?
Yes.
And then dealing with these antagonizing remarks from the kids and not being able to do anything about it. So I can imagine how frustrated you were. Can you kind of tell us about some of the things that you experienced, and what is it that hurt you the most? So are you okay about going a little deeper with the audience?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, little soldier. Let's do it.
So when I was in the 2nd grade, the first day of school, someone asked me if I was pregnant, and I was only in 2nd grade. And then, I answered no, but people always tease me because I looked like I was. Like, my stomach always stuck out, and it was always horrible. So during all the years, people just teased me even more. It got worse and worse to the point where 5th grade, we had to drop out. I had to actually go switch to homeschooling for a good 2 weeks, maybe 4, until school ended. And then after that, we went to a lot of counseling, a lot of, the first week of school, my sister, she went to school, but then she left early so she could come with me and spend the rest of the day with me. And then she's the one who actually helped me through everything.
I want you to listen to that, ladies and gentlemen. There are some very key things that Kayla said. Even look at her experiences. We're talking in the 2nd grade. How could someone say that to her? Look how cruel that is. But I also want you to hear how they came together as a family. It is so important to come together as a family and help our children through obstacles and challenges that are affecting them emotionally. Her sister left her class in school early, and I've met her sister. I've met Kia. I know Kia. Just to go to be with her sister to make sure that she was protected and emotionally safe. Look at the classes that she missed by having to be pulled out. Why? Because of the evil tongues and the evil things that were being said by other children. So I really need you to listen very, very closely. Because of all the broadcasts that I've done on bullying, this is the first time that I've had the privilege and opportunity of having someone on the air who can express to you just how difficult it was and how she was able to pull through. So, Kayla, back to you. So, how long was it before you let your parents know that there was a problem? How long was it that you tried to take care of it and deal with it on your own?
I would always keep it in until, like, a whole month after. I would always tell them until, like, a whole month after it happened, so nothing would be able to stop, like, no one would be able to stop it. And so that kept on happening during the whole elementary years except sixth grade.
So it sounds like you shed a lot of tears.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she did. And so did
we. Was there anger too, Kayla?
The anger didn't come until seventh, maybe sixth grade. Like, it came after all that stuff stopped happening.
Okay. Mark, what was it like to see your daughter shed those type of tears? And how did it make you react when you saw those tears, when you finally realized that this wasn't something that she was just experiencing, but something that had been going on? As a parent, as a father, how did it make you feel?
Well, as a father, you know we're by nature protective. I'm a mild-mannered man, and I have to say that I was thinking the violent take it by force and probably misinterpreting that scripture a little bit on my heart, but I was extremely upset. I felt helpless because I wanted a couple reasons why the people who were bullying her were my neighbors, their daughters, and we found ourselves loving our neighbors enough to allow them in our home and just really love on them and doing the things that we're called to do. And you know, when you're dealing with children, you have to, you know, you have to behave responsibly, and so, you know, there's so much anger welled up inside of me. I just felt like I couldn't help her in any way. And, you know, I cried a lot. My wife cried a lot. You know, we tried to come up with plans. We tried to, you know, console Kayla, you know, who obviously was physically capable of taking care of herself. We didn't promote the violence, her handling it that way. But it was hurtful. It was painful. And you feel helpless. You know, in a sense where you can't, you know, you feel like you can't address anything emotionally, and to be honest with you, physically. So you feel like you're caught. And the only thing we could do, which was probably the most important thing we could do, was support her, console her, pray with her, you know, teach her how not to have this change her character as a person, and flip her into being what oftentimes happens with kids who are bullied is so angry that they start, you know, reacting and you know showing different behaviors that are negative, and even, you know, getting involved with things just to ease the pain. So we had to channel all the energy into that focus, is to make sure that we weren't displaying any behaviors we wouldn't want her to display, you know, in situations like this. So, you know, I'd say it's short story. I was angry, in pain, and etc.
I know you had to be. I cannot imagine that kind of confusion as a parent. I know what it is to go through as a child because, you know, as I was growing up, I was always different, very unique, and the children were not very kind, and they teased. But that, those years ago, it was teasing, even though it made you feel uncomfortable. It is nothing like what was being said to our young adults today. And, you know, there's a saying, Mark and Kayla, that always disturbs me because it isn't true. And it's when, remember the old saying, Mark, when they say sticks and stones may break our bones, but names will never hurt you.
Well, certainly.
And that isn't true. Words do hurt. So, Kayla, when you were in school, did it get to a point where you just didn't even want to go, or you were embarrassed to go, you were ashamed to go? Tell me how difficult it was for you to get up in the morning and get dressed and go to school.
It was very difficult for me. I had a tendency to make up excuses not to go to school. I always say, Mom, can't do I have to go to school? I don't feel good. Mom, do I have to go to school? I just don't want to go because I have a bad headache or stuff like that during a long time. Like, I would miss 2 weeks of school maybe. And then my teacher started warning me about how missing school is getting bad for you. So I had to just stick it out and just go.
Was there anyone at school that you could talk to, Kayla? Did you try to talk to your teachers or the principal?
When I talked to the teachers, most of my teachers always stood up for the bully, not for me. But the only teacher who really didn't do that is my fifth grade teacher, Miss Carberry. She doesn't like that because she's really tall. She was bullied in elementary school and stuff, and so she didn't have a tolerance for that. So every time something happened like that, she would stop that right away. But when we went to the principal and vice principal, they wouldn't do anything about it. They would practically protect the bully, not the victim.
Mark, I'm sure you and your wife went to the schools. Can you tell us about that?
As I said in the post, I spent a lot of time in her school. I either should have took up a job or, you know, there or volunteered or did something because I spent a lot of time up there, and I sat in both the principal's, the vice principal's office, classrooms. I would visit her classrooms just to show a presence, volunteered in her classrooms, and I felt the same thing that Kayla just explained to you. There was never any assistance for someone who was being bullied, at least the type of assistance I wanted to see. I wanted there to be some accountability for the children that were doing this. And I always used to tell myself, I wonder if my daughter was, you know, harming these kids that were bullying her, if action would have been taken. I would ask that question within myself all the time. And because I was extremely frustrated, you know, and I think the frustration compounded. My wife was frustrated. She left work oftentimes. We spent a lot of time in the office, and it just never seemed like anything was getting done. You see the kids who are bullying her. You visit the classes. They're in there, and they just seem to be peaceful or at peace in some fashion. And then you watch your child being chastised and coming home and you know, just frustrated. Now, Kayla was a lot – she was really covert in how she kept – you know, her pain away. So when she was telling her mom, I want to stay home, I have a headache, I'm like, well, what's wrong, baby? And she's like, I just don't feel good. It just took, you know, I can only imagine what she was carrying, the burden that she was carrying to have to keep that from the only people that could protect her, you know, to where she had to be some form of shame or guilt that kept her from, you know, talking to us about it. And so there was just a lot of frustration, and, you know, you feel like you pay your taxes and you're not getting the assistance that you need. So, you know, her grades went down. You know, everything went down. You know, you could see the depression setting in. And it just was, you know, you talk to the principals and they're just like, well, you know, we're looking into it. You know, so I'm a patient man, but I can tell you it brought me to my last strand of patience. That fruit in my spirit was starting to rot out. So, to be honest with you, it was a tough situation.
Oh, absolutely. I can imagine. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand how serious this is. There was a news flash months ago that caught my eye, and this is why I started doing several broadcasts on bullying. And I shared with Mark that an 11-year-old girl in Indianapolis, an 11-year-old girl hung herself. She committed suicide because of the bullying she was experiencing day after day at school. Her mother went in her room to call her in for dinner and found her daughter in the bathroom hanging. So this is what I'm talking about. This is a very serious matter. It's so important. It's so important to talk to our children today. Find out what they're thinking, what they're feeling, what they're experiencing, so that they're comfortable with talking to us. And it's so important for the school systems to recognize that this is a growing problem. This isn't something that just occurs in high school. This is a growing problem, and it must be addressed. I cannot imagine how a young child could be so depressed that she made a conscious decision that she no longer wants to live and go through this. So please listen carefully. Listen carefully and don't leave this broadcast the same. Kayla, I'm going to ask you, were there times that you felt very deeply depressed? And if so, can you and will you mind sharing that with our audience?
Yes, times like that got me really depressed. It all started, it got worse in fourth grade. Fourth grade is when it started, this came depression and just not wanting to be even more at not being at school. And then during like half fifth grade before I got pulled out, it was even worse. I didn't want to be there. I always tried to cut myself and just don't want to be in the world where I'm being hated for.
Dad, did you know that?
Yes.
I need you to tell the audience how you felt as a father. Yes.
It gradually trickled out, and you know, the pain just consumed me. You know, not being able to protect your daughter or your children. We have three children, and two of them were adults, and even the instinct to protect them is great, but not even being able to protect your baby is just even worse. And when I found out about that, it just broke my heart. I'm a praying man. I consider myself to have discernment enough to know what my children are going through, and for me to be standing in her presence, be so actively involved in her life and not knowing that she had this pain growing in her body, I felt helpless. To hear that she, just such a vibrant young girl, would want to, not even be here anymore. It was just in pain. It was so much pain. I had to see God on that one. I didn't have anybody else to turn to. You know, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I never felt anybody who could around me could even assist me. So that, I just had to turn to the Lord and ask for some guidance. And Mary and I, we just bound together on it, but we were just both, just frustrated and it's just to even know that, to me, there's no words to explain it. It really isn't.
I know there had to be. I know it's difficult to even talk about it right now because I cannot imagine having a child that is feeling that low because of someone else, because of others, to the point where they just don't want to be here anymore. And I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Kayla is vibrant and energetic and outgoing and strong. She's very strong and strong-willed and strong-natured. So we're not talking someone who is a weakling and things easily get to her. She's a very strong, dynamic young woman. So I really need you to hear what is being said here. Because if she can be made to feel this way, as strong as she is, can you imagine what the average child is going through and feeling every single day? So I am asking you to please not just look at your child, but look at all children. And if you're noticing a despondency, if you're noticing that they're withdrawn, please address that. Inquire about that. We cannot let another child feel like they're alone and that no one cares. They should never have to feel alone under pressures such as this. You know, Kayla, I remember when we were talking the other day, honey, that you were telling me that things would get so bad sometimes that you would go to the bathroom and call your parents. You remember telling me that?
Yes, I do.
Can you tell me about that? And did they come to your rescue?
Yes. Whenever I called them in the bathroom, they always would come and tell me what's wrong, Kayla. And I would always say, "Just can you please come get me, because I don't want to be here anymore at school." And they would always come pick me up right then and then. Like, my mom had to come all the way from her job to come get me if my dad was more, like, at school.
So you literally had to go to the bathroom and sneak and call your dad or your mom to tell them to come and get you because you couldn't take it anymore.
Uh-huh.
So tell me, where the ridiculing and the chastising, it sounds like it wasn't just in a playground then. Were they doing it in the classroom, Kayla?
Yeah, they would do it in the classroom when we had to work with our partners. They would do that, and I was like, I would always be the last one to be picked to be chosen as a partner. And so they would do that. Then they would always tease me or snicker about me. They would always make fun of something about me, when even if I had a good day, just to make it worse.
And the teachers didn't seem to notice any of this?
No. It's like they looked at it and then just walked away.
They walked away. So, Mark, when Kayla would call from the restroom, so she's not only missing school then, it sounds like the parents are missing work or having to take time away from work. So
yes,
did it start
it,
to cause... yes,
ahead,
please, can you elaborate? Because it sounds like it's like a small... When you throw a pebble in the water, it's a small circle, but it sounds like that the circle just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger where it was affecting your entire lives. Is that the case?
It definitely was the case. My wife, she was working at UC Davis Med Center, so, you know, that's somewhat close to downtown. I was attending Sac State at the time when I was getting a lot of phone calls. So whichever person she called first, we ran to the rescue. And a lot of times if she couldn't reach me because I was in class and performances or whatever, she would get her mother, and she'd call her sister and her brother, Derek. She would call whoever she can call, and I just remember vividly one time, you know, it wasn't the first time, it had to be several times in, that I was on the phone with her, and she was literally crying, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to get there in time to ease any pain that she had, you know, at that particular moment. So we talked about a particular scripture that she has, and that she stands on, and she always stood on, and she was just bawling and crying in the stall in the bathroom, just, "Please, Dad, please pick me up. I can't do it. And she could barely even get her words out. She was crying. So I said, What's your scripture? Kayla, can you tell the listeners what your scripture is? To remember your scripture? Second Timothy 1:7.
It was 2 Timothy 1:7. God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. love and sound mind.
So she would repeat that scripture and say it over and over if she could, just so she can just hold it together so I could get there. And so I had to leave classes a lot of times. My wife, she left work. But we would get there and get to her. But that scripture gave her enough courage to withhold until we did get there. And just to have that happen, you know, you're going through all this anxiety as you're making the 15-mile trip to get there. And by the time you get there, you know, I'd walk in that office and just, you know, if I said anything, I was going to blow up. So, you know, I gave dirty looks. You know, I came, retrieved my daughter, and I left. And it just couldn't imagine what she was going through while she was hiding in that bathroom and just crying and wailing. You know, you hear your child crying and wailing, and you feel helpless because you're not there at that particular moment to help. So.
Yes. So here we have a family that prays together. We have a family that they live their lives based on the Word of God. And even though this young lady is only 12 years old, what is imparted in her is the Word of God, which is what I always talk about. The Word of God strengthens us. It empowers us. It encourages us. It gives us faith. The Word of God is something that we need in our everyday lives so that when we face challenges that we don't know what to do or how to get through them, the Word that rises up in us will strengthen us to get through it at that time. And I'm really hoping that you honed in on that. When Dad could not get there and he's listening to his daughter completely distraught, He steadied himself, and he said, "What is the scripture, Kayla?" And she was able, through the midst of everything, be able to remember that scripture and recite that scripture, which gave her the ability to hold it together until help came. It is so important to teach our children how to pray. It is so important to empower our children with the Word of God. Do they have to know the Bible front and backwards? Absolutely not. But every one of our children should have a scripture that is within their spirit that will help them through difficult times when mom or dad cannot get there. And to me, that is the greatest gift that you can give a child. And look how that gift helped his daughter when he couldn't be there at that moment. And did he want to be there? Oh, we're parents. We can imagine what he was feeling at that time. But he knew that the best that he could give her was the Word. And the Word strengthened her. So now, Mark, here we go. You took Kayla out, you and Mom, and homeschooled her.
Yes.
And then one day, she comes up to you and whispers, "I want to wrestle." Okay. You're thrilled. Mom is like, "No."
Mom was not feeling that.
No. Kayla. So what made you think of wrestling? Tell me how it all came about.
It all came about maybe fifth or sixth grade, like before I was taken out. I got this flyer of my school, Snedberg Wrestling, and I was always, went up to my mom and said, "Mom, can I go wrestling?" She's like, "No, why would you ever bring that up? Like, I don't want you to see you get hurt." And then sixth grade, I was like, "Mom, can I please wrestle this year?" She was like, "No." And so once the seventh grade year, my mom said, I said, "Ask her again." She's like, "You could wrestle, but as long as you try out for the volleyball team, try out for track or field team, try out for anything that won't get your face hurt or get a broken arm." I was like, "Mom, please, you know, Dad, wrestle, why can't I wrestle?" She was like, "No, I'm just going to let you see how it is." And ever since that day, my mom said yes, it actually has been a better, a brighter area for me.
But you did the right thing. You tried volleyball first, right?
Yes.
So, Mark, how did you feel about that? And how did you go about helping her?
Well, I first of all, it's funny that you say that, Dr. Bev. I had looking through my computer and all my photos, and I saw pictures of Kia and I trying to show her how to set and bump and do all these different things, and it wasn't natural for her in these pictures to do that. So I was all for it. So I showed up to her practices. You know, I got an assignment from my wife, Mary. She said, you better go, and you better make sure my baby doesn't get hurt. So I showed up, and to my amazement was the camaraderie that she had with this group of boys that surrounded her and accepted her. You could not even see that she was different, that she was loved. And you know, my heart just, all the pain that we went through just vanished. I had a good report to bring home. I felt like an errand boy who came back to give a good report. That, you know, babe, there is nothing that we need to worry about. She's locked in over there. She said, well, you're still going to be in practice. I don't care. So I went to practice for more majority of the season, and I've watched her develop. I watched her friendships develop. And one thing I did watch her do is she persevered, because wrestling is one of the hardest sports that you have. It's like Navy SEAL training. And they put these kids through such rigorous training, and a lot of them faded away and disappeared. And she was one of the 13 that lasted out of about 60 kids. And so
wow.
It was just a wonderful thing to see her just to grow and just develop friendships. And her differentness was not different. I mean, it was just, she was part of the team, but she still had an ability to impart and shine. And the only thing that made her difference is that she was giving people an inspiration to step out of the box and do something that was supposedly non-traditional. And it was just wrestling. Even if it wasn't wrestling for someone else, the quiet person, the bullied person at the school that wanted to try something new to get themselves feeling, you know, a part of the school and give them some spirit, she was inspiring those people that just sat down and ostracized to the corner of the cafeteria who just never felt like they were part of anything. So that was the purpose, I believe, of her doing what she did. She not only helped herself, but she gave an example, a beacon for others who were there feeling the same way. She just also stepped into a platform, you know, and that was the powerful thing. It just, that opened up doors for her in so many different ways, and not only taking off a lot of stress on us, we could actually sit back and watch her develop and not have to worry about getting a phone call from her school. Knowing that she was safe, we can be content, and we can focus on just raising our children and her, and not have to worry about the issues that she had in elementary school. So it was a blessing to see her use that as a tool to develop.
And, you know, I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, and, you know, it's such a joy for me to hear that, because that's what I needed to have come out during this broadcast. I want you to try and understand that there are children that are very, very unique. They're outside the box. They're not the norm. They're very different. Well, you know what? They're different for a reason. You know, they're different because there are things in their lives that the Lord is going to use them for. That's why there's their difference. I understand that, because I was very different. I was one of those unique children growing up, and I have my youngest son was the same way. He never fit in. I never fit in. And that was Kayla's challenge. She did not fit in. She was different. She was unique. She's here for a purpose, a reason, and a cause. And the challenges that she went through, she was able to go through them victoriously. Now, you've heard how frustrating it was, how painful it was for her, even to the point of duress, where there was a period that she didn't want to be here anymore. She didn't want to go through it anymore, cutting herself. But I want you to understand how the word within her and the love of her family and prayers and coming together, supporting their daughter, first of all, understanding that she is very unique. I think Dad said he always saw a Samson-like strength in her. So I really am hoping that you're looking at your children in a different light. There is nothing more painful trying to fit in to a system where you don't fit in and no one is understanding. There's no one to talk to. And this is what our young adults, our children are experiencing today. It is very important as parents, it is very important as family that you come together and support your child through this difficult time and find a platform, find a place where they have comfort and peace. That's what this family did. So here they tried doing things according to the system and then realized, no, we're going to have to bring our daughter in. And that's what they did when they homeschooled her, brought her back, surrounded her with love, and made sure that she was getting the education. And look what happened. When she got grounded and she was taken away from that negativity that was trying to steal her very life from her, she got stronger and grounded. And look what happened. She said, I want to go back to school. And she went back to school, strong, determined, and in an area that was comfortable for her. And look what happened. She was embraced for her difference. She was embraced for her uniqueness. And, Dad, did I hear you say, Kayla, are you the first one at that school that they've ever had a female wrestler or in Sacramento? How did that work?
So it was a couple of years ago, it was a long time ago, in 2008, maybe 2006. My coach, Kay, she was actually one of the first girl wrestlers at our school. And then ever since she came to my sixth grade class to talk about it, she always called me her, what's it called, Dad?
Protege?
Yeah, protege. For ever since that day, she said, I asked her, how many girl wrestlers have there been since there? And she said, it was just me until now. And then after I started wrestling, after my first tournament, people from, coaches from different teams were telling me, Kayla, go up and do something so you could get out of this certain position. And I was like, aren't you supposed to be helping out your kids, not me? I'm going against your child, your wrestler, and why would you tell me to do something?
I can clarify that for you, Dr. Beth.
Kayla, take me off speaker, okay? Take me off speaker. Dad, can you kind of bring that to help us understand what she meant?
Yes, I can make that clarify that a little bit. She met the coach that several years ago had wrestled there. But she was actually the first girl wrestler, and there wasn't another one until Kayla came. And when she noticed Kayla, she took her under her wing and wanted to coach her and kind of protege as a protege. She's the one that made that. Team tap out shirt that you spoke of in the opening of the show, at her tournaments, a lot of the coaches were fascinated by not only her spirit but her strength and her will, and so a lot of the other coaches would come up to her and give them pointers on how they could beat their own players. Like, use your strength, you just stay strong and do this and put your weight and your strength on this guy and he'll go down. Just watch it, and they would come her before a match, so they would really took interest in her, so that was really a secondary reassuring point for her that she was in there doing the right thing, and people were noticing her, like you said, for her difference. And there was nothing different about her, they were just noticing her for her difference and how she stood out, and people were drawn to her, and just the parents and even the lady, a mother of one of the sons that she wrestled came up to her and just
and just gave her, you know, all kind of, you know, all kind of accolades, and everybody would clap and stand up once she had a match. So it was just a beneficial reassurance that she received from what she was doing, and she knew that it was, you know, the right thing for her to do. So, and she's always excited when she talks about it, so you can see how she gets really energetic, and it all comes out fast, and she just, you know, has so much. That's the vibrancy that we're talking about that she has.
Well, it is exciting. It's like night and day in her life, you know, saved, freedom, joy, with amidst the years of the pain and the torment, and it is exciting. I can't believe she's able to sit still and sit down for the interview. I'm so happy that she's giving us the time to do that. But you didn't take her back to the same school, though, right, Dad?
She went back that sixth grade year, and that's when everything transitioned. For her, we set up the support system in the home. Kia, her sister, was at her school on a regular basis volunteering. I was there on a regular basis. Her mom was there, would bring treats. And, you know, we made a presence so those children and those teachers knew that she had a family support system. And that was our line of defense. I think what happens a lot of times is when other children who happen to be operating as bullies don't see that there's a support system, they tend to, you know, try to, you know, pounce on the children that don't have this protection. So we made such a presence in that school the year that she left that that's when the transition period started to happen. And she, you know, she started to gain her power back. She was able to tell those children that, you know, assaulted her and verbally abused her, she could tell them at that point she had enough power to say stop. Talk to the hand. Well, that's what she was able to do. She had enough power to protect herself and guard her heart to send those people away from her, her enemies, I would say. And it's interesting that you say that. When you were talking earlier about, you know, her going through this dark state, I thought of the scriptures, you know, in Psalms 23 and 4, how it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, the rod and staff, they comfort me. But if you're looking at that scripture in the Bible between 4 and 5, there's a break. And in music and poetry, whenever there's a break, there's a pause. And so I thought of that pause being that period that she had to wait. And if you read on, in verse 5, it talks about your God will prepare a table before or in the presence of my enemies.
That is
where she transitioned into her seventh grade year, and those people who saw her be victorious now start to become her friends. Her enemies had to watch God prosper her and make her victorious. And so there's this little waiting period in between there, and then, you know, he comforts us during that waiting period, but oftentimes, you know, we're not aware of the word that's there for us, but it's happening. And then that is what brought tears of joy to my eyes when I saw her win her first mat and medal at her first tournament. You know, you see your children going through such a tough period, and then you see them be victorious, and it was like, I didn't even know what to do. I didn't care that their people were there. I had tears in my eyes. I didn't care.
Oh, are you kidding? I'm sure I would have been bawling, just the joy of it. I mean, look at what you've done, Kayla. You've gone through a journey that was almost nearly debilitating for you. Yet you are victorious through that journey, and you're able to be an inspiration to others that are going through the challenges now today simply by being on this broadcast, but even in the school that you're in. You know, the way that you came back to the school stronger than ever, more determined than ever, and tackling a sport that not a female has done before, and victorious at it. It is an honor. The Lord is glorified through you, and it's not to be taken lightly. And I want to ask you now, Kayla, if you could say anything to other children that are having challenges right now, experiencing some of the things that you experience, honey, what would you tell them? What would you like to tell them, if anything?
I would tell them, don't give up. God has a plan for you. You just need to stick things through. Because I always remind myself that every day, also my sister always did, everyone did, to remind me that stick through it. God always will have a plan for you. And it's going to be a breakthrough sooner or later. And so just stay strong.
She's trying to say, and she gets caught up when she's talking about this, is that, you know, stick to something. I know she talked about, mentioned before, find the gift that you have and pursue it and use it in when you're going through what you're going through, and that will carry you through, and God will use that to carry you through and give you the strength, and then that will also be the catapult into other people seeing that, you know, that you are you're great, you are victorious. And I would say to the kids, you know, find your resources, find someone, your parent, and tell them as soon as possible. There's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no condemnation in admitting that you're being hurt, because we all, even us adults, are bullied in the workplace or, you know, in different forms or fashion. So find a resource that you can channel it into, and I just hope that it's your parents, and then find something a place where you can use and grow your gift into where you can be used as a inspiration, and find your platform, and then from that platform, you know, find your cause and then make a change.
Thank you, Mark. Now I'm going to ask you one more thing. What would you tell the parents that have children that are being bullied at school?
I would tell all the parents who would be listening right now, if you have a child that's bullied, don't be defeated by what the system may not be doing. I would say still operate in the system. You go to the appropriate individuals and you discuss it with their teachers. You discuss it with the vice principals. And you discuss it with the principal. I almost made the mistake of wanting to contact the parents myself first, but that usually doesn't work well, I heard. So I would say you use resources, and if need be, pull your child out of school and homeschool, because you're able to teach your child what they need to know. They can get the comfort. They can get the schooling that they need, and they're able to regain the confidence that they will need to get back into the school system, and then they'll find themselves during that period. And for those of for people who have a resource such as the Lord Jesus Christ, I would say pull on them. You know, ask for wisdom, because as a parent, there will be times where you want to act and operate in your flesh, and if you don't have that system, you might make the wrong decision. And if I, being one person who has that support system, has, you know, been tempted to go there, then I can sure someone without it. So I would say use your resources first, and know that you're empowered to do, that you're empowered to take your child's destiny into your own hands, and if that means pull them out of school, then you do so.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark, for that. That truly was wisdom indeed. Please do not leave your child in a line of fire. Don't leave them on the front line to have to experience that on a daily basis and then have an expectation for them to actually learn something or do well in school. That is truly preposterous. Pull them out of the line of fire. Pull them aside so that they can heal, strengthen, regroup, refresh and renew, and restore what God placed in them. There is a greatness in each and every one of us. And I will tell you, typically, a child that experiencing these type of antagonistic attacks are truly ones that the Lord wants to use for his purpose, and he's got a destiny for them. As Kayla said, there is a plan for them. So don't allow them to get beat up without you rescuing them. That is our job as a parent, to protect and save our children so that they will grow into the greatness that they were destined and designed to be. Kayla is an inspiration indeed. I want you to understand what it took for a young lady that is only 12 years old to come on the air and to be transparent about the things that she experienced that hurt her so badly. But she truly took all of that, the word of God, the prayers, her family embracing and coming together as a family, and she became a formidable voice that rose up against the negative voices and turned it around and became victorious. Her gifts that God placed in her excelled above everything else and grounded her. She had the word in her that she was able to hold on to and brace herself as she went through the journey during the dark period. And not only is she in a position that she knows now who she is and understands, and I don't think there will be a challenge anymore with her being rocked by words. And listen to the pride of Dad, because ultimately it's still Kayla that made the final decision to stand and be confident in who she is. And look at the glory that our Father, our God, got in all of this. So I am so grateful, Kayla, for you and your father coming on the air and sharing with us. You have truly inspired and empowered not just the young adults, but each and every one of us, young and old, on how you have turned this around. And I'm going to ask you one more thing, and I hope you will oblige, Dr. Beth. Instead of me praying over the broadcast and praying over young adults that may be experiencing this, I'm going to ask you to pray. Can you please pray over the children that may be experiencing this?
Yes, Dr. Beth. Father God, thank you. Thank you for all the wonderful people that you gave life to the people on earth. I hope that you will give them a season of breakthrough and a power where they can say, stop, don't stop bullying me, to stop. Even to people who are older, you just need to stay strong, you know it, and God will always have a plan for you. And always remember this one scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7. God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of sound mind, love,
power,
and
love
power. Amen.
And you bless them by leaving a scripture. That's my girl. Oh, my goodness. Again, thank you both for being on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, you had an earful, and there's no way that you're leaving the same. You have now been empowered, and you've truly been inspired. Take a look at each and every one of your children. Sit down, talk with them. Have conversations with them. Ask them how they're doing. Ask them where it's not intimidating. Make them feel comfortable about sharing with you the things that are hurting them. Let them know it's okay to talk to you about anything. Let us stop as parents. Let's come together and stop the genocide of the attacks that is on our young children and our young adults. Let us not have another child of any age, but certainly not 11, thinking that the only way that she can have any peace is to take her own life. Let it stop now. And I want to thank you again for taking time for being on this broadcast with me. I thank you for all of those that will be listening in on the archives, and it is my prayer that you will share this message because all need to hear, young and old alike. I want to remind you that Mark, I shared his bio. He is outstanding as a ghostwriter, and in writing he is amazing in all that he spoke about in regards to social medias and everything that he has done. I don't want to have to go back through the broadcast. You remember what it is. But I want you to know that you can contact him And Mark, instead of me letting them know how to contact you, would you please give them your email address or phone number, whatever it is that you're comfortable with, and the areas that they can contact you for?
Yes, for all the listeners out there, I'd be happy to hear from you if you want to contact me at mark@ledbygoddesigns, that's M-A-R-K at L-E-D-B-Y-G-O-D, designs, that's D-E-S-I-G-N-S. You can also, if you have any projects that you need editing, ghostwriting, broadcast writing, anything that you may need of that nature, graphics, any type of consulting, marketing, please feel free to get a hold of me via my email. You can also visit my Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Mark Taylor, and I'd be happy to hear all your comments, comments, suggestions, share anything that you'd like, and I'd be happy to respond to those. And it was, Dr. Beverly, I really appreciate you having my daughter and I on your show to share some inspiring words that may be encouraging to your listeners.
Indeed it was, and truly the honor is mine. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what dropped in my spirit. I do believe that the voice of Mark and Kayla should be heard. So it is my hope that you not only contact him for the gifts that he has in the area of business, but it is my hope that you contact him to even if they can come and speak at your schools and share the experiences and share how you can assist as parents to turn things around. I believe that there is a voice in them that needs to be heard. And it is, again, it is my hope that you will contact them. Let this be an avenue opening up for us to bring to light and expose what it is, the attacks on our children, and let us work together to save our children. And I want you to know that he has a video of Kayla wrestling. I know he does because he shared it with me. And if you contact him, I think he may share it with you too. I love putting him on the spot.
I would be delighted. I'd be delighted.
Wonderful. Yay, wonderful. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again. We have come to the end of the broadcast. It has been an honor to be with you this evening. Our guest this evening is Ms. Kayla Taylor, just 12 years old, inspiration, and she empowered, and you will have your breakthrough just as she has. Thank you, Mark Taylor, Dad, for sharing his wisdom and how he handled the situation. There is nothing but a victory in this. Now, I want you to know that if you have any questions at all, or if you have a story that you feel that fits this broadcast, please email me. You can email me at info@drbeverlylswanson.com. Take a look at the website at www.drbeverlylswanson.com. And that's DR, okay? I love to hear your thoughts about the broadcast. You can even reach me on Facebook under Beverly L. Swanson, or you can send me a tweet. I love tweets. And that's Dr. Beverly Swanson. Leave off the end. Don't forget to follow me here on Blog Talk Radio. So we're going to head out of the studio. We are done for the day. I want you to know that I do love you more, and I look forward to seeing you once again on the air next week. Have a wonderful evening, everyone. And again, I love you more.